Great to have Matt Burke on the program. Matthew, what happened to first at five yesterday?
Konnichiwa. Konnichiwa. No,
first at nine.
First at nine. Exactly right. We're a little bit late. I think we got stuck in daylight savings, mate, last night. Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm disappointed for you blokes that you weren't able to watch it. But there was some good racing happening, though, yes?
Oh, some great racing. Yeah. And I watched it all on 10 yesterday. But, Berkey, what happened to you on Tuesday? You were coming down to have a beer with us, and we never caught up. You brushed us.
Mate, there was I was picking BSB or the Birdcage, and the Birdcage got me. For the first time, the Birdcage got me. So what? I had to experience the...
Me too. Well, it's funny you mention that because I know a bloke down there who was in the Birdcage and he saw you. He actually saw you. He met you about lunchtime and he was asking you about, your career because we were just reminiscing about Loz's career and he said you started off about lunchtime talking about game three or the first game in 1993 and he went away 5 hours later and you're only up to game one 1995.
We had to go up to the line for 2001, exactly right.
So, Berkey.
Hey, Berkey, let's get on to more serious matters. This is interesting, this review into Australian rugby. What's most interesting is who conducting it. Pat Howard's there, Nathan Sharp is there, and Bo Hansen, a former four-time Olympic rower who's a high-performance expert. And Loz asked a question, it's a good one. Is it only into the football operations or does it go wider than that?
Yeah, correct. It's only into the football operations. It's only into this World Cup, basically, as you sort of ask the question why and what happened. So they'll come up with their own ideas. You're right, it's interesting about Pat Howard as well. Polarising figure.
Yes.
Was Australian high performance manager maybe a decade ago. I think it's sort of a bit of an anomaly, that word, in amongst a lot of teams and sporting environments. When back in the day, the performance of the players was quite high. Anyhow, if you know what I mean, I don't think the skills have gotten any better with these people being put in place. So what they're going to do is actually ask questions as to why this World Cup wasn't successful and. You put that down for a couple of reasons. One, when you're looking at the players, could they have competed with South Africa in that final? No, I don't think so. So I think you talk about performance of the players could have been perhaps a little bit better. But I think that also then comes in line with how they played the game. And I think what the big question that will be asked is the game plan. Do you think you had the right game plan? And I think from the frustrations of watching a lot of these games and, the players, they give everything. And there's no doubt about that. And Michael Checker, I think he put sort of some value on a jersey and pride in a jersey, but I don't think they had the right game plan. So when you're playing in that level, if you don't map your way around the park, you're just going to fall apart. And I think that'll be the outcome of this review.
Yeah, that may well be the case, Berkey. I actually ran into Curtly Beale in Melbourne on the Sunday.
In the Birdcage?
No. Just along the Yarra. And he was...
Were you going fishing or something?
Well, I was holding hands with Michelle. Oh. We were going for a nice walk. Anyway, I ran into Curtly and I said to him, asked him about the campaign. And he believed it's the best preparation he'd been involved in.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, I can understand where they're coming from. And it's these guys... lived and breathed Michael Checky. A lot of these guys came from 2014 from that Super Rugby win. They jumped on board, and we heard Check say about it afterwards when he sort of left and he got a little spray at the same time. He said, we chipped up and we went all in, and it didn't work in the end. So, that's the ability he had with the players. He bought in with these players, or the players bought in with him. So, it was a case of things aren't going to plan. 2018 was a struggle. Do we change everything up, or do we still go? And they still went. I think that was it's admirable that you have the ability to sort of to do that and say, hey, we're going to go all in, and that's great. But then again, I think it's a bit naive as well to say, hey, we've got a team that could be very good, and perhaps should have pressed semi-finals. With the Wales loss, going on the other side of the draw, that could have that's not saved face, but it would have been a better outcome. So, you know, there's no doubt these blokes have a big thank you for Checker and what he did and what he brought to the game. But in terms of footballing prowess, they must be, you know, they must be disappointed by getting knocked out in the quarters.
Berkey, we've been talking politics in sport this morning.
Wow.
How political political is rugby in Australia? Because from top to bottom, you're in the game. Is it as political as we think?
Yes. There's always connotations though, isn't there, Dave? There's always I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And that's perhaps not the best for a game going forward or a game struggling at the moment. So, you know, they're always political ties. There's always sort of, you know, clubs coming through and different factions, that kind of stuff. You know, the old adage of if you go into a boardroom and don't know the decision before it's done, you're out of the loop type number, you know. So I think that's all part of sporting administration. Probably this, you know, as you said, boys, this is about the football side of it, and I think there has to be then a review, perhaps, or some kind of sit down powwow, if that's the word, into how the game is going outside of that. Because, you know, when you look around, you know, these clubs and everyone's, you know, scrounging for dollars to try and keep them going, what they're lacking, I think, is that the simple understanding of latching onto heroes, and when you've got heroes, that's when clubs go well and junior teams go well. So this goes all the way down to, you know, sort of, you know, club land to, you know, through to Super Rugby and then back up to the top. So I think it's got to be a role reversal rather than just looking after football.
Mm. Time frames, outcomes, are we any closer? Do we expect a coach to be announced on the back of this?
Not on the back of this review, but they, you know, I've been reading it the last couple of days. They're looking before Christmas, so I would think take your time. You know, this Dave Rennie guy is sounds like a bit of a lay down in the chair, but you know, take your time. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's months and months before. I think it's Ireland next year in touring in Australia, so take your time. You know, don't rush into it. I saw a headline the other day. You know, another All Black reject or another reject from the All Blacks coaching, you know, could be our job. And I think what we have to do is we have to create our own identity again. Look, this bloke may be the best thing for Australian rugby. You never know. But don't limit yourself to just saying, hey, this is the one bloke and only go from there.
Geez, it'd be a surprise, though, if the review didn't identify the strengths of what the new coach of Australia should look like.
Should have.
It's not Dave Rennie.
Yeah.
I'm assuming the outcome will have all the strengths of Dave Rennie.
I think it's called a boat race, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly right, boys. Yeah. Exactly right. But you know what? I mean, probably the last time we chat for the year because all the winter sports wrapping up. But you know, you look at where they are, and this World Cup. Apart from, I suppose it wasn't a pass mark for Aussie. For the Aussie team, but when you look at the way it all panned out, an incredible win for South Africa. You know, when you saw probably saw the pictures of Sia Khaleesi going back through, you know, the airport in Johannesburg, and it was quite incredible. Mm. Japan put on a great show. Japan rugby played well. I mean, they've got to be sort of, you know, tapping on the door now for tier one sort of status top number. So there was plenty of positives to come out of this World Cup, boys. It was good to be there.
Quickly, Sonny Bill Williams going to Toronto Wolfpack. I see that New Zealand Rugby Union would probably be a little bit disappointed with that. They'd want some sort of role for him.
Yeah, but you know, he's been that guy where he's been guided by perhaps some monetary values as well. You know, he's obviously got the ability to still play, and you know why not? I mean. It's a long time. You're a long time retired, boys, as you know. And, you know, if you can make some cash now, you know, good luck to him. So I did read that other players are calling up the Wolfpack and saying, hey, yeah. I want to join in. I want to get a start as well. So they've created something, and it's getting some groundswell, isn't it? So, look, he's, you know, I mean, you look at, apart from what he's done in rugby, you know, he's got two World Cups to his name. I think he's only lost one game, I think, in his World Cup rugby history. Two titles with the Chiefs, I think it was back in 2012-13. Yep. So, you know, he's got a pretty impressive CV about him, and good luck to him.
Yeah, it's incredible. First at 5 today?
Yeah, absolutely, boys. Yeah,
fantastic.
Jump on board.
Fantastic. Good on you, Berkey.
Good on you, boys.